squeezed past. "You ken anyone who keeps bees?" said the Kelder. When Tiffany nodded, the little old woman went on, "Then you'll know why we dinna have many daughters. Ye canny ha' two queens in one hive wi'oot a big fight. Fionn must take her pick of them that will follow her, and seek a clan that needs a Kelder. That is our way. She thinks there's another way, as girls sometimes do. Be careful o' her." Tiffany felt something move past her, and Rob Anybody and the bard came into the room. There was more rustling and whispering, too. An unofficial audience was gathering outside. When things had settled down a little, the old Kelder said, "It is a bad thing for a clan to be left wi'oot a Kelder to watch over it, e'en for an hour. So Tiffan will be your Kelder until a new one can be fetched." There was a murmur beside and behind Tiffany. The old Kelder looked at William the Gonagall. "Am I right that this has been done before?" she said.
"Aye, the songs say twice before," said William.
He frowned and added,
"Or you could say it was three times if you included a time when the queen was—"
He was drowned out by the cry that went up behind Tiffany.
"Nay, queen, nay, king, nay, laird, nay, master, we will na be fooled again."
The old Kelder raised a hand.
"Tiffan is the spawn of Granny Aching," she said. "You'll ken of her." "Aye, and you saw the wee hag stare at the heedless horseman in the eyes he hasna got," said Rob Anybody. "Not many people can do that."
"And I have been your Kelder for 70 years, and my words canny be gainsaid," said the old Kelder. "So the choice is made. I tell you, too, that you'll help her steal back her wee baby brother. That is the fate I lay on you all, in memory of me and Sarah Aching."
She lay back in her bed, and in a quieter voice added,
"And now I would have the Gonagall play the bonny flowers, and hope to see us all again in the last world. To Tiffan, I say, be wary."
The Kelder took a deep breath.
"Somewhere, our stories are real, our songs are true."
The old Kelder fell silent. William the Gonagall inflated the bag of his mouse pipes and blew into one of the tubes. Tiffany felt the bubbling in her ears of music too high-pitched to hear. After a few moments, Fionn leaned over the bed to look at her mother, then started to cry. Rob Anybody turned and looked up at Tiffany, his eyes running with tears.
"Could I just ask you to go out into the big chamber, Kelder?" he said quietly. "We ha' things to do, you ken how it is."
Tiffany nodded, and with great care, feeling Pixies scuttle out of her way, backed out of the room. She found a corner where she didn't seem to be in anyone's way, and sat there with her back to the wall. She'd expected a lot of waily, 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 but it seemed the death of the Kelder was too serious for that. Some Feagles were crying, and some were staring at nothing, and, as the news spread, the tiered hall filled up with a wretched, sobbing silence. The hills had been silent on the day Granny Aching died. Someone went up every day with fresh bread and milk and scraps for the dogs. It didn't need to be quite so often, but Tiffany had heard her parents talking, and her father had said, "We ought to keep an eye on Mam now." Today had been Tiffany's turn, but she'd never thought of it as a chore. She liked the journey. But she'd noticed the silence. It was no longer the silence of many little noises, but a dome of quiet all around the hut. She knew then, even before she went in at the open door and found Granny lying on the narrow bed. She'd felt coldness spread through her. It even had a sound. It was like a thin, sharp musical note. It had a voice, too, her own voice. It was saying, "It's too late. Tears are no good. No time to say anything. There are things to be done." And then she fed the dogs, who were waiting patiently for their breakfast. It would have helped if they'd done something soppy like wine or lick Granny's face, but they hadn't. And still Tiffany heard the voice in her mind, "No tears. Don't cry. Don't cry for Granny Aching." Now in her head, she watched the slightly smaller Tiffany move around the hut like a little puppet. She'd tidied up the shed. Besides the bed and the stove, there really wasn't much there. There was the clothes sack and the big water barrel and the food box, and that was it. Oh, stuff to do with sheep was all over the place, pots and bottles and sacks and knives and shears, but there was nothing